The settlement fell behind the pair as they were making their way towards the Harlow farm.
You're gonna feel a mite foolish if that girl gets home safely and we've wasted our time.
Well, not a bit. I'd be plumb satisfied if she does. You don't think I go around hoping to run into trouble, do you?
They rode at a fast pace, the miles falling behind them as they followed the main trail by moonlight. Matt kept his eyes peeled for any sign of the buckboard up ahead, but he couldn't see well enough in the darkness to spot it. They might be practically on top of the vehicle by the time they saw it, Matt knew, and that could cause Frankie Harlow to believe she was being attacked, as Ike Loomis had cautioned them. Matt couldn't think of any way to solve that problem, though. If Frankie started shooting at them, they would have to yell for her to hold fire and assure her they meant no harm. As it turned out, the Blood Brothers didn't have to worry about that happening, though, because about a half an hour after they left Cottonwood, Matt suddenly brought his horse to a halt.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it. That's gunfire. Coming from somewhere up ahead.
Damn it. I knew that girl was gonna run into trouble. I just knew it. Come on!
They rode hard toward the source of the gunshots. To Matt's way of thinking, there was only one explanation that made any sense. Frankie Harlow had run into the group of special marshals and they had opened fire on her, probably when they called on her to halt and she kept going. It wasn't a running fight, though, Matt knew, because he and Sam were drawing closer to the shots. Frankie must have forded up somewhere and tried to hold off the marshals. Matt and Sam swept around a bend in the trail and suddenly spotted orange muzzle flashes spouting in the shadows up ahead to their right. There was enough silvery moonlight to reveal that the buggy was lying on its side in the road about 100 yards ahead of them. The horses weren't hitched to the vehicle anymore and weren't even in sight. The team must have broken loose when the shooting started and the buckboard had returned, Matt thought. That would have occurred as Frankie was trying to flee from the bushwhackers. Because an ambush was exactly what it had been, Matt saw in that fleeting second. Half a dozen riflemen were firing down at the buckboard from the cover of a tree-topped ridge to the north. They must have been hidden there, waiting for Frankie to come along. Then they had opened fire on her as she drove the buckboard past them, the dirty bastards. The only good thing he could see was that Frankie was still alive. Muzzle flashes came from behind the buckboard as she returned the bushwhacker's fire. Matt pulled his Winchester from its saddle sheath.
We'll split up and come at that ridge from different directions.
Right.
They veered their horses apart and headed for the ridge, Matt going to the left and Sam to the right. They guided their horses with their knees and opened fire on the bushwhackers as they charged. The gunmen must have spotted their muzzle flashes right away and realized that this was a new threat. Several of them switched their attention to Matt and Sam. Matt lowered the Winchester, snatched the reins out of his mouth where he had put them, and hauled his mount to the right so that he wouldn't come between Frankie and the bushwhackers and ride right into her line of fire. Sam changed his angle of attack too, heading farther north so that he could circle the eastern edge of the ridge and get behind the hidden gunmen. If he could pull that off, they would have the bushwhackers in a crossfire. The men on the ridge must have figured that out too, because the muzzle flashes from up there abruptly ceased. They didn't want to be trapped. Matt hauled his horse to a stop. The bushwhackers were getting out of there while they still had a chance to do so. If they had waited, they might have been pinned down. Matt swung his mount around and rode slowly toward the wrecked buckboard. He hoped that Frankie would have seen how he and Sam threw themselves into the battle on her side and would know that they were friends. She might suspect that, but she wasn't taking any chances.
Don't come any closer. I've got a bead on you, mister, and I'll drill you if you do.